You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The People's Select Committee reported on the 2025 amendments to the Equal Pay Act in a document published on Tuesday this week, and have revealed that the recent changes to our pay equity laws represent a clear undermining of human rights on multiple accounts. The legislation was passed under urgency last year, making it more difficult to correct pay inequities and freezing the progress of 33 active workers' claims that affect thousands of Kiwis' right to fair remuneration. I spoke to Oliver Christella, Senior Human Rights Advisor at Te Kahui Tika Tangata Human Rights Commission, about the legislative changes and how the issue disproportionately affects women-dominated professions. Kia ora, Oliver. What instigated the 2025 amendments to the Equal Pay Act?
Oh, tēnā koe, and thank you for having me on. First of all, I'd like to talk a little bit about pay equity and how it differs from the concept of equal pay. So pay equity is the idea of equal pay for work of equal value, and it's a fundamental human right. It's when workers who perform different jobs, but who share similar levels of skill, responsibility, effort, things like that, are paid the same for the work they do. So it's different from the idea of pay equality, which is the idea that simply we get the same pay for the same sorts of work. Pay equity is recognised by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and it's protected in a number of international human rights instruments that Aotearoa New Zealand has signed up for. So, for example, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women and the International Covenant on Economic and Social Rights. In Aotearoa, we do have historic and persistent pay inequities between male and female-dominated occupations. And when everyone is fairly rewarded for the work they do, we're going to strengthen whānau, lift community, and build a fairer and more just society. In terms of the background to the changes to the 2025 amendments to the Equal Pay Act, the 2025 amendments were something that really shocked everyone. They weren't something that had been signalled in the coalition agreements or something that had been signalled to the public in any other way. So it came as a shock to people who were involved in it and to the general public. From a human rights perspective, human rights approach depends on involving people who are affected by a change. And that's not what happened in this case. The bill was passed under urgency, meaning that affected workers, their unions, women's organisations, employers, Māori organisations, experts in the field, and just everyday people didn't have the opportunity to comment on the bill. The rationale for urgency appears to have been to ensure that the bill was put in place for Budget 2025. So we know that the government expected to save about $12.8 billion over 4 years from the changes to pay equity, but these savings are money that would have gone into the pockets of predominantly working women to ensure that they are paid fairly in line with this human right and this principle of equal pay for work of equal value.
How is Te Kahui Tika Tangata holding government to account in their misstep on this issue?
Kia ora. So yeah, I'd like to talk to the role of Te Kahui Tika Tangata. I think I'd first like to pick up on what some of our concerns are from a human rights perspective. So I've already mentioned that the bill was passed under urgency, but on top of passing it under urgency, they cancelled more than 30 active pay equity claims, and this affected well over 100,000 working people. So many organisations, the unions, but also the funded sector, charitable organisations and employers have reported to have been spending millions of dollars and thousands of hours of time, much of this volunteer time, from people to actually put these claims together to demonstrate and work cooperatively to work towards a pay equity settlement. So all of that work now has been set aside. Now people can come and run new claims, but these new claims exist under quite different rules. And for some groups, so for example, secondary teachers, their claims are no longer qualify under the new rules because the definition of what counts as a female-dominated workforce has changed under the legislation. Another major concern is the restrictions on using comparators. So effectively, you can no longer compare yourselves with a group of workers outside of your sector. And this sort of really strikes at some of the heart of the changes of the Act, because in many sectors themselves are female dominated, and therefore if you can't go and find a comparator out of your sector, so say for example teaching has historically been a female dominated profession, they might then go and compare themselves with something like, a police force that has been historically male dominated, but now they're not entitled to step outside of their sector and make those comparisons. So for some female-dominated workforces, that will mean that in practice it's extremely difficult or potentially, in a practical sense, impossible for them to pursue a meaningful pay equity claim. The other thing I'd like to touch on is to speak to Te Tiriti o Waitangi, which is our own unique statement of human rights in Aotearoa. And so Te Tiriti does not only just protect Māori from discrimination, but it also requires that the Crown actively promote equity for Māori. And since the amendments, many of the organisations who work at the coalface have raised serious concerns that these 2025 changes disproportionately affect wahine Māori and see this as a breach of Te Tiriti. So those are some of the core issues that we have. Turning now, to your question, what is the role of Te Kahui Tika Tangata, the Human Rights Commission, going forward? We are Aotearoa New Zealand's national human rights institution, and our role is to promote and protect human rights here in Aotearoa. And into this, in response to what has been happening, we've taken several steps. Firstly, we've met with a number of the relevant ministers and we've discussed our views on human rights, some of our concerns with the 2025 amendments, and we want to engage with ongoing dialogue. Secondly, we've been quite active in the People's Select Committee. We made written and oral submissions to the Select Committee. And I'd like to acknowledge and tautoko all the work that they've done. The committee have produced a really in-depth report on Tuesday, which is now publicly available, and it's an excellent resource for anyone who wants to better understand these issues, and it will be a resource for years to come. Commissioner Pacheco, the EEO Commissioner at Te Kahui Tika Tangata, has written a number of publicly available opinion pieces on pay equity and human rights, and most recently she's produced an article on pay equity and occupational segregation based on some academic study that she's done in these areas. We're also speaking publicly about these issues at hui, at interviews such as this one, and always wanting to engage with the public about human rights. And Commissioner Pacheco will also be representing Aotearoa at the Commission on the Status of Women in New York, where she'll discuss pay equity settings alongside some Canadian speakers and look at the differences in the pay equity frameworks between Canada and Aotearoa. So one other thing we're looking at going forward is engaging with youth to better understand their views of pay equity and do some youth-focused work in this area.
What international reparations does the undermining of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights have for Aotearoa?
In terms of the repercussions for Aotearoa, the right of equal pay for work of equal value is important to upholding equality and freedom. So a robust and workable pay equity process will result in more equal treatment and more valuing of women. Aotearoa has been long considered a leader in gender equality, and with this backslide on the right to pay equity, people will now question whether to look to Aotearoa as a leader in this space and question our commitment to gender equality.
What are your organisation's expectations from here to progress on this issue?
We intend to continue to talk about the importance of having strong and accessible pay equity settings so that people can meaningfully access the important human right of equal pay for work of equal value.
And then I spoke to Rachel McIntosh, National Secretary at the Etu Workers Union, about their mahi in fighting for pay equity in the current legislative climate. Kia ora, Rachel. This amendment to pay equity law last year was a rushed passage of legislation. How quickly can it be adjusted or repealed?
Yeah, one of the abuses that has been recognised by the People's Select Committee is the rushed way that it was done. And to be fair and just, legislation needs to be considered, and there's supposed to be a process, which is a Select Committee process. That didn't happen, and that was the abuse. But the People's Select Committee has actually given the legislation that process. And so now that that has happened, it could be repealed very quickly, as soon as the government is prepared to repeal it. They've got the evidence. These discussions have happened. And so it could be repealed under urgency when a new government comes in at the end of the year.
And could you share more about what groups of workers this affects the most?
Sure. So pretty much every kind of work that is mostly done by women, when people have raised claims, it has been found to be undervalued because it's considered women's work, and women's work just doesn't have its skills and responsibility recognised. And so that social workers, librarians, teachers, nurses, but the group of workers that actually, of all of the female-dominated work, that is the lowest paid is care and support work, and that is something that is really just considered to be something that anybody could do, not very important, and paid often at or very slightly above the minimum wage. And this is work that really gives people dignity in their lives. This is work that is intimate, needs to be done with great sensitivity, is actually skilled and responsible because it's about people's health, and it takes a huge amount of emotional effort as well as quite a lot of physical effort. The fact that the value of it is in allowing people to live a life of dignity. So if you get to a stage of your life where you can't any longer dress yourself, something that most of us would take for granted, to have somebody to do that for you so that you can be in society, that's massive. And it's just been not considered valuable. And that is one of the key areas where this work is undervalued. And so the people doing the work don't get paid enough to live on properly, so they can't live lives of dignity while their job is to give other people lives of dignity. That is one of the greatest injustices in this whole situation.
And how do you expect to see this issue addressed in an election year?
Well, we know that the current parties in power, they passed this legislation that makes it pretty much impossible to get those things fixed. We know that they don't resile from that, so it's not those parties that are going to fix it. So what we expect is that the parties in opposition to stand up really clearly and say, we are for this work. We are for the value of this work. And when we get into power, we are going to fix this situation quickly. And then what we would ask the voting public to do is look at those parties and vote for the parties that are going to allow people to live in dignity, to have their work valued and recognised. That's what we would expect in this election year.
And how can we shift toward being progressive in pay equity legislation, not just correctional?
That's a fantastic question, because there's so much correction that we need to do first before we can get progressive. But legislation can actually lead changes in attitude, because the reason we constantly need to correct this is because of the underlying attitude to the work. And so legislation, first of all, does need to correct it. But also this legislation needs to have, and in fact the old legislation did have, the requirement for review periods, which means that there are constant points in time where the value of the work is reviewed again against male-dominated work to ensure that it hasn't slipped behind. And so when that becomes constant, when the work does have its value recognised and its pay improved, then what we know is that it will attract more men to do the work, and attitudes in society will shift. They do shift over time when you legislate for it.
That was Rachel McIntosh, National Secretary at the E Tū Workers Union, following Oliver Christella, Senior Human Rights Advisor at Te Kāhui Tika Tangata Human Rights Commission, on how the 2025 amendments to the Equal Pay Act undermine human rights to pay equity in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.